Help me with the communion. I will. God is so cool. He meets us where we're at. And sometimes in the Word of Faith circles, you know, in the church world, sometimes there's a lot of pressure put on people to have a Superman faith so that they can receive a miracle healing. And then when they don't get it, they get frustrated and they give up. God never did that. You know, Jesus would meet people where they were. A centurion come walking up to him and said, all you got to do is just say your word, my servant will be healed. His servant was healed that very hour. The leader of the temple came to him one time and said, can you just come and lay hands on my servant? Jesus did that and the servant got healed. Jesus will meet you where you're at. We don't have to get to his level. Thank God. One thing God did for us was he gave us the Holy Communion. And this is one of the most intimate, most special things that we can ever do is partake of the Holy Communion with him. Paul told us the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So we can take this as if we do discern the body of Christ, we can expect to have healing and health in our body. The way we do this is we look at this bread and we see Jesus in his sacrifice. We look at this bread and we see that it's made without yeast. Jesus' body is and was certainly without sin. He never made a mistake, ever. You look at this bread and you can see that it's been beaten and pounded flat. Jesus' body was beaten and bruised for us. And if you look at this bread, you can see that there's stripes in it. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. Everywhere that Jesus shed his blood, we get redemption in some area. If you ever get a chance and you're close to a Catholic church, I encourage you to go in there and go to the wall and find the stations of the cross and see these different places where Jesus shed his blood. It's a special thing. And they pinpoint it, they lay it out for us. We can see all these different places we get redemption. Also, you'll notice that this bread has been broken. Jesus' body was certainly broken for us. In the biggie, if you look at this bread, you'll see that it's been slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. Praise God. So we're taking this for our healing and our health. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. The shed blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on this earth. There is nothing more powerful ever been released The blood of Jesus did something that man could never come up with. The ability to completely wash away our sins and make us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means whatever was wrong between you and God before you got born again got made right by Jesus' shed blood. Now we can stand in God's presence as if nothing ever happened because it's been washed away. Now we have boldness to enter into His presence and receive mercy and grace in time of need, all because of the blood of Jesus. We thank You for this. Praise God. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 16, verse 33. Any of you know who Bobby Farron is? Not many? No hippies in here? Okay. Well, Bobby Farron, back when I was frequenting the bar scene, came up with this weird song called Don't Worry, Be Happy. You all heard that song before. Don't Worry, Be Happy. It's just a weird song. It sticks in your head. I believe that if we would just listen, we'd hear God say, Don't worry, be happy. Yeah, John 16, verse 33, Jesus told us that in this world there shall be tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Okay. How are we going to be of good cheer with all the chaos that's going on in this world? See, when we lay our treasures up on this earth, when we're focused on earthly things, when we're focused on the world going to get us through, the government's going to get us through, we're going to have frailty of heart. We won't have confidence. When we put our focus on God, we lay for ourselves up treasures in heaven. Then we're not going to be looking to the government to save us. We're going to be looking to Jesus, who has saved us, who is saving us, and who will save us. Amen. Did you know salvation is a continual thing? When you get born again, you are saved, you're going to go to heaven. But salvation, we got to discern that word salvation. It means everything that a man needs is wrapped up in salvation. That means deliverance, protection, prosperity, provision, whatever it is that you may need on this earth, it's wrapped up in Jesus. He is your Savior. Yeah? So we are being saved on this earth. And it, when we see Jesus face to face on that glorious day when He completes our redemption, we will be saved. Praise God. Did you notice that it's all about Jesus? He is the one and only Savior. Nobody has ever been able to come up with a program to save yourself. Have you ever noticed, been in the bookstores and seen all the self-help books? You want to know the problem with self-help books? It's all about you. How many times have you failed? When we put the focus on us, our faith diminishes. When we put the focus on us, we become weak and frail. But when we focus on Jesus, it changes us from the inside out. Remember, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's what a lot of the translations say. But if you look at the proper translation for that word, God, it's not Theos. It's not God. It's Christos. That's different. See, you can look at the law. If you understand, the word of God encompasses everything from Genesis to Revelation. That's the word of God. But you can look at the law of Moses and it will not impart 1 ounce of faith to you. In fact, if you look at the law long enough, it will impart condemnation and fear into your heart because you know you can't fulfill it. But that's not what that translation, that's not what that word says. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christos. The word that Jesus spoke. Now we're going to the New Testament. Now we're going to the new creation realities. Now we're going to hear how God justified you freely by His grace. Now we're going to hear how your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Now we're going to hear how you've been made a new creature in Christ. Now we can hear how you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. These are the words of Christ. Now we understand why the two men on the road to Emmaus were walking along and they were downhearted. They were sad. And then all of a sudden, Jesus was there walking with them, but He kept Himself concealed. And He started talking to them, asking them what's wrong. And they said, they crucified our Lord. And the more He talked to them, the more they got lit up. And the more they started to understand, then they realized it was Him and He vanished. They said, did not our hearts burn within us when He was talking to us? The words of Christ is what builds faith in your heart. When you focus on the new creation realities, what happened? This is the gospel, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's no other gospel than that. When you focus on what happened to Jesus in His death, burial, and resurrection, and look at the things that He did for you in those things, it builds faith in your heart. It will build life in you. Isn't it wonderful to know that you've been made a child of the Most High God and not a servant? Isn't it wonderful to know that now you are in right standing with God because of what Jesus did? Righteousness is one of those words that I stayed away from because the first time I heard that word was in the bar. These guys were sitting there and they said, those self-righteous hypocrites, they go to church and they tell us not to do the things they do. And I thought, man, when I got in church, I said, I'm staying away from that word. Little did I know that from beginning to end, everything was about righteousness. And I had a lot of misconceptions about righteousness. I thought it was about clothing. I thought it was about doing things right. But what I didn't know is that it meant right standing. Now I'm in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. Well, that's cool. I can be righteous. I can be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I promise you, if you decide that you're going to be righteous by your own works, you're going to be frustrated and fear-filled. You won't have confidence before God, and you won't succeed. There's a teaching that says that righteousness is right doing. That's false. Righteousness is right standing with God, period. Now you'll do right things because you are the righteousness of God, but you're not going to do right things because you want to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, you can't earn your own righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." What that means is Jesus never made a mistake ever. He never sinned one time. But he became sin for us so that we could be in right standing with God. How cool is that? That's over the top. When you understand these things and you get them in your heart, it'll make what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6. I want you to go there. It'll make what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6 ring true in your life. It'll make your life a lot better. You'll have a higher quality of life. Verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, we have a country in chaos, and people's 401k plans and their stocks and their bonds and all their treasures on this earth are taking big hits. You know, banks are failing with people with big savings accounts in the banks, and things are just not going their way. And then they wonder why they can't sleep at night. They've laid up their treasures on this earth. I worked at a trucking company one time, and I remember I was hooking up a truck, and this guy come up there, and he's helped me, and I said, "What are you doing out here?" And he said, "Working like you." And I said, "You're supposed to be retired." "Yeah, I know, Obama took care of that." His whole 401k plan just went poof, overnight, just gone. And he had to work. My pastor, this is one of the lessons he had to learn the hard way, said he had a bunch of stocks and he was getting ready to sell them and he was going to go buy a ranch. And then the oil bust happened and the stocks weren't worth nothing and he had to work. Look, we can't lay up our confidence on the things of this world. We have to lay our confidence on Jesus. This is where our treasure lies. It's wrapped up in Him. Now, what Jesus was telling us here, we're going to go on here. Verse 22 says, "The light of the body is eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You're not able to serve both of them. I've known some very, very rich people that were absolutely miserable in everything, every aspect of life. Now, I've known some pretty poor people that were happy in every aspect of their life. And if they had two hot dogs, they'd give you one. Know some rich men that wouldn't give you the time of day. But where you lay your treasures up, that's where your heart's going to be. The Bible does say there is that scatters and seems to increase. You know, there's people that just give all over, you know, indiscriminately. You know, just here and there, they cast it out. And that comes back to them. You cast your bread on the waters, it'll come back on the waves. Now, we're going to get to the heart of this matter here. Verse 25. This is Jesus warning us against worry and anxiety. One of the biggest pharmaceutical paydays in this nation is for the doctors to drug people, helping them to not be worry-filled, anxiety-filled. All they do is mask the symptoms. They don't get to the root. Doctors used to say, you know, stress, you got to avoid stress so that people will quit working. But that didn't fix the problem. Then they finally figured out you got to stop worrying. Well, that's the truth, but they just masked it. They didn't get to the root. You know something about Adam? When he sinned in the garden, he hid himself from God. How many of us have been there? As if God was walking through the garden and said, Adam, where are you at? As if God didn't already know where he was at. But God was getting Adam to locate himself. He said, I was afraid, so I hid myself. What caused Adam's fear? What caused Adam's fear? Condemnation. Condemnation caused Adam to get in fear, so he hid himself from God. All too often when people make a mistake, they accept condemnation. And here's the sad part. They accept this condemnation as if it's coming from God. Condemnation does not come from God. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So when you're born again, there's no condemnation for you. That's been taken care of. God is not condemning you. It's the devil. You know the devil's favorite tool to beat up Christians with is the law? That's his favorite thing. He come up and said, I seen what you did last Saturday night. And then you go to church? Are you crazy? I seen how you waved at that person that cut you off in traffic the other day. And then you want to raise your hands and shout hallelujah? See how subtle it is? The devil tries to get you to feel bad about a mistake you made so that you won't draw closer to God. He wants you to think that this condemnation is coming from God so that he can get you to hide in the weeds like Adam did. That somehow you're going to make yourself better and then you're going to be righteous before God because of what you did. That's the same idea Adam had. He made a mistake and he tried to cover it with clothes that he made. Did you know that won't work? It won't do. You know the only thing we can do is run to God? When we make a mistake, run to God. The Bible says that if you confess your sins, he'll forgive you your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Did you know that he wasn't talking to Christians? This makes some people very, very mad. John was witnessing to some people that weren't born again. Gnostics, what they called them. when he was talking about us, was in 1 John 1:7. He said, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Why would he say that? Because God wants you to have a righteousness consciousness, not a sin conscience. The way to have a sin conscience is to get on your knees and ask God to forgive you every time you make a mistake. And if we would just be quiet long enough to listen to him, we'd hear him say, I already did that 2,000 years ago. When you raised your hand and said, Jesus be my Lord, that washed away all your sins. All of them are gone. Now the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. See how now we get to this place where we're not going to be living in worry. We're not going to be living in anxiety. We're not going to be living in fear. But we're going to be living in righteousness, love, joy, and peace. That's the kingdom of God. All right. Verse 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought saying, circle that word. We live in a war zone. I don't know if you notice this, but the biggest battles we have are in our mind. We have some terrible battles in our mind. I mean, we think of things that we worry about, things that are probably not going to happen anyway. We worry about things that are just small challenges in the eyes of faith. We worry about things that God told us not to worry about. Sometimes these little tiny problems, when we set and focus on them, and worry about them, and worry about them, and worry about them, and think about them, they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in our minds. And then pretty soon we're pole vaulting over mouse turds, and we're wondering why life is so hard. And then when we get to the problem, it's a little insignificant thing, and it wasn't even a bump in the road. But we lost a lot of sleep over it. Well, after all, if I don't worry about Junior, who's going to worry about him? He'd be an idiot. Why don't you just pray for Junior and quit speaking bad things over him? You know, you'll get more done by praying for your kid than you will talking about him. But he gave us the key there. So why do you take these thoughts by saying? See, the devil has absolutely no access to your spirit, none whatsoever. When you got born again, he got completely evicted. He does, however, have access to this fine-tuned thinking machine that's up here between your ears. That's where these bad ideas come from. That's where these thoughts come from. They call them high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And we're supposed to take those captive in the name of Jesus and cast them down. And here's the thing about thoughts. You can't beat a thought with a thought. If you try that, you're playing mental basketball with yourself and you're going to lose every time. You beat a thought by the Word of God. I mean, you're going to have to say something. You're going to have to say something out of your mouth. Now you got a part to play in this. A bad thought comes and you have to say something. Amen. I want you to all bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to think about a great big pink elephant with a purple polka dotted dress and a trumpet. Now I want you to say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What happened to your pink elephant? See, our minds are souls. And when we got born again, it was our spirit that got born again, not our soul. The Bible tells us that we had to do something with our mind. We had to have our minds renewed by the Word of God. I don't know if you ever noticed that before you got born again, you got taught a lot of things that weren't necessarily right. And then after you got born again and you started reading in the Bible and you started seeing some things that you thought were right but didn't line up with the Word of God, and then all of a sudden you said, well, maybe I should do something. And then your flesh threw a fit. What is that? That's the Word fighting with the flesh. The Spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. So we feed our spirits on the Word of Christ. And that will give us a chance to get this thing under control. And Paul said he had to keep under his flesh. If the Apostle Paul had to continually keep his flesh under control, what makes us think that we're not going to have to? The only way we can do that is to get our spirit man strong enough to take control of our thought life and our flesh. But Jesus did not want us to be worried about these worldly things, about these things. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Where are we going to sleep? Are we going to have clothes? You know, we're going through some interesting changes in this world, and it's an exciting time. And there's a lot of people that are freaked out. I run into them all the time. They just don't. They think this is the end of the world. This is the beginning of a whole new beginning. This is not the beginning of the end. This is going to be fun. Don't worry. Be happy. You know, Job, he had a covenant with God. And then disaster hit. And he said, the thing that I worried about, the thing that I feared, has happened to me. Faith is a magnet, and so is worry. How many of you worried about something, and then it actually happened? You know, worry will draw negative circumstances to you the same way faith will draw positive circumstances to you. We've been told not to worry. But the only way to not worry is to focus on Jesus. Remember, he said, whatsoever things appear, whatsoever things are lovely, righteous, just, all these things, think on these things. That's Jesus. When you think on Jesus, you're thinking on the answer. Verse 32 says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things." Now, here's the thing. There's a difference. There's a difference between people of this world and people in this world. You're in this world. You're not of this world. You're born again. You belong to the kingdom of God. Now, the people that aren't born again, they don't have any choice but to seek after food, clothing, and shelter. You, on the other hand, your Father is God. And He's taken responsibility to provide for you. How many of you raised kids or took care of little kids and have a little 3-year-old kid, 4-year-old kid come into the house and say, "I'm hungry"? Say, "Well, you got to get out there and earn it." None of you? Well, sometimes we act like God treats us like that. God wants to provide for you. The key to this is you letting God be God in your life. He's taken responsibility to provide for you. That means He's going to feed you. He's going to clothe you. He's going to protect you. And He's going to care for you. Will you let Him do that? Jesus also gave us the key to this in verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek first the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Love, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is inside you. It's in there. Because God is in there. The kingdom of God is not something that you're reaching out to God. When you got born again, the kingdom of God moved on inside of you. How you gonna bring that out? "With the words of your mouth shall a man's belly be satisfied." When we speak what God says about us, it changes our atmosphere. You really can create your own reality with the words of your mouth. Here's the thing. You're creating your own reality anyway. Whether it be positive or negative, you're creating it. He gave you power with your words. You just as well create a wonderful reality. Create a wonderful garden He put you in. Start speaking the words of God into your life. Start speaking the word of God over your kids. Speak the word of God over everything about you. Watch your reality change. Then He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Notice He said, "His righteousness." All too often, we got this work and earn mentality. Now, in this world, you're going to have to get some leather gloves out and get out there and do something, you know, be productive in this society. In the kingdom of God, you're going to have to receive from Him. You're going to have to understand His righteousness. His righteousness is not about your works. His righteousness is not about your ability. His righteousness is about what Jesus did. And He made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because He is the only one that can walk uprightly before God. And when He traded places with us, He put us in right standing with God. Now, don't you think when you find out about these good things that Jesus did for you, how he washed away your sins, he made you a new creature in Christ, and all these wonderful things that he did for you in his death, burial, and resurrection, don't you think that's going to cause love, joy, and peace, and the Holy Ghost happen to you? Yeah. That's going to change everything for you. You're going to focus on the new creation realities. What Jesus did. If I focus on what I did, I'm going to be miserable. I focus on what he did, that's going to make me happy. It changes you. That's the gospel. Jesus Christ and him crucified. We'll finish up with this last verse. He said, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. One day at a time. That's all you get. One day. If you're living in remorse about yesterday and worrying about tomorrow, you're wasting your day. Live this day like it's your last day. Live this day as successfully as you can. That way, you won't have nothing to feel bad about yesterday, and you're not going to be worried about tomorrow. Do what you can today. But I got all these problems. Can you fix them today? No. And don't worry. Do what you can. Do what you can do today. Did you know that tomorrow is not assured? I mean, you could walk out of here and get ran over by a moped and that's it. It could happen. They'll probably put COVID on your death certificate, but we'll all know it was a moped that took you out. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know very little about tomorrow. We have plans. We have goals. But it's today that we got to live for. It's today. That's all we got is right now. So your neighbor that God told you to witness to, don't keep putting it off. You know that guy's not born again. You know he's living in dangerous country. Go witness to him before something happens to him. And don't worry about what he's going to say, because it's not about you anyway. What if he turns me down? He ain't turning you down. He's turning Jesus down. What makes you think you're so cool? They're not turning you away. They're turning Jesus away. And they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. And we thank you, Father, for taking care of us every single day. You watch over us. You bless us. You provide for us. In spite of ourselves, you take care of us. You watch over us. We thank you for Holy Spirit, who is always here to teach us and guide us, show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you for Holy Spirit who shows us who to witness to, when to witness to him. And we thank you for his power that gives us the ability to witness to these people. And we thank you, Father, that the Lord is our shepherd. We really shall not lack. We don't really have anything to worry about because he's the one that's watching over us and taking care of us. He guides us. He watches over us with his staff and rod. He protects us. He keeps us out of trouble, brings us back out of trouble when we get in trouble. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, we have brownies and quiche back here and coffee. And come on back and have some and visit a little bit and enjoy the day.